Right, now, on the 29th of September, Lorna joined us after her daughter was told she could not attend school because she had diabetes and had no SNA. So let's remind ourselves of that conversation.
I was told she wouldn't be made any difference for her diabetes, but it doesn't look that way. It looks like she's been ruled out because she has diabetes. Do you know where she's missing? What her friends are doing, what they're learning in class, to jump on, and then she's missed so many weeks of what they have learned to try and catch up with them. Now, she's a smart wee cookie, she probably could catch up with them.
Yeah, it's not the point though either, isn't it?
It's not the point, no. It's the fact that she's sitting here and the school is back to normal, should I say. Practically.
And how has it been? Have you had to try and homeschool her then yourself?
I have. Now, her teacher is brilliant. I asked if she could send home wee bits of work for her. And Alyssa loves getting the books home.
Yeah.
You know, to do the news, all the different things and that. So that's exactly what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same because she's not interacting with other people.
So that was Lorna chatting to Michaela, who was sitting for me in for me that day. We spoke to Lorna subsequently then after that. And Lorna's back on with us again now. Good morning to you, Alyssa's mum. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Craig.
All right, okay. So you had a meeting with the school yesterday, or at the school yesterday, or with Sino in any case. And I suppose on a personal level, it is good news.
Yeah, it is good news, but they have decided to give her the one-on-one SNA, but it hasn't worked out the way it should have worked out, as in they've took an SNA away from another child to give to Alyssa, which is unfair. It's great for Alyssa to get back to school, but it's unfair on another child.
It's bittersweet, Lorna.
Yeah, I just feel like it's my fault now, but another child is missing out because Alyssa needs this. The Sino did say yesterday what she's never had an appeal overturned in her watch, and it never would be, which is shocking. In other words, she wasn't there to care for the children.
At one point, correct me if I'm wrong, there was, and it wouldn't be unusual for an SNA to divide their time. And I think that was put to you as a solution at one point. But obviously, given the nature of Alyssa's condition, that was not suitable. She did need one-on-one interaction monitoring.
Yeah. They were going to do out a timetable at the start, so given certain times of the day where they would come in and just check on Alyssa and then leave the room again, which, as they have seen the first 3 weeks that she was in there, that would never work with her, what she needs somebody there all the time, because we can't even leave the house without taking her with us.
Yeah, and look, I think you're being very gracious, but I mean, obviously, you can only advocate on behalf of Alyssa, and Sino made that decision. The reality is, the solution to this now is an additional special needs assistant being given to that school. And we had a press release from them at some point saying that they would look, you know, they would look at any application for an additional SNAs. So hopefully if that application hasn't already been furnished, it will be, and the complement of SNAs will actually be increased to meet the school's needs.
Yeah, well, that's what we're hoping. I think just because it's a small school, they think what they can manage. But it's nothing to do with that. It's the children what needs it and needs the support. And there's not a shortage of SNAs out there what's willing to go on and help the children. But it is. It's great news. The smile on her face this morning, going out to school and been in with her friends. I'm still nervous. I'm nervous today because they're not fully trained on working with Alyssa. It's kind of a learning basis for them. Where I'm on edge, just sitting here waiting for a call if something goes wrong. I'm hoping nothing goes wrong. I hope everything goes perfect and she gets to enjoy her time back in school.
Which, of course, when you see her being able to interact the way other children, for the most part, can't interact, i.e. go to school, come home, do her homework, that kind of stuff that we sometimes take for granted, or indeed, actually, sometimes we can see as a nuisance, right? For you, it's everything.
Yeah, it definitely is. When I have other kids going on to the school and then she was missing out, it was like she was questioning why could she not attend when they were going. You know, she just sees herself as a normal child, which she is. She just has a medical condition. Do you know what? It doesn't even hold her back. She just needs people to monitor her. It's very stressful.
Yeah, of course. But listen, it'll bed in, hopefully. And you'll be able to breathe a little bit as well. You have you've done amazing advocacy work on behalf of Alyssa. So it's a credit to you, because it's difficult sometimes to put your story out there, especially in smaller communities, smaller schools. You know, you don't have that cloak of anonymity as such. So, but sometimes that's just what we have to do, Lorna, for our kids.
Yeah, that's Craig. So grateful for you taking me on and getting the story out, and for everybody that shared the post and was able to get the help now that she has been granted, which is great. I am glad, but I think more people should speak out to get what the help they need.
Yeah, well,
it's definitely... people in small communities need to speak out.
Well, they've got this platform as well too, which not everyone has as well. So listen, thank you so much, Lorna. Best wishes to Alyssa and all of the family. And now I suppose we'll keep an eye on the general sort of complement of SNAs to ensure every child is treated equally. But thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Craig.
Bye-bye. Look after yourself. Okay, that's Lorna there. Right, so... let's see, getting to some of your comments here before we take a break. What did he expect the senator? They knew exactly what would happen to them before they went. They did. That's exactly what they expected. None of them believed for a moment that the flotilla would make its way to the shores of Gaza. And in fact, if the truth be told, the amount of medicine and food they were carrying would not have made a pick of difference in terms of, in the wider scale of things. It was not to end a genocide or starvation or famine. Exactly what's been achieved was achieved, as far as I can see anyway. Carla says, I'm no fan of the Israeli regime, but what did his crew expect? They told us they were delivering food, etc. Turns out there was nothing on them boats. It was a crew of attention seekers. Well, you could debate whether they were seeking to raise attention for themselves or if they were there to seek attention for the people of Gaza. There's some on it, I believe it was themselves, to be honest, but I think the majority of them were there to try and focus minds on the plight of the Gazan people. To be fair to Israel, says another, how are they supposed to know these people are just virtual signalling? They would have to assume they are Hamas supporters with the intention of terrorist activity and treat them accordingly. Well, I mean, they were international waters as well. There has to be some sort of international law, doesn't there? Whether it's Israel or Germany or Russia or... France or whomever, you know, international waters are just that, international waters. Another caller says, hats off to all the crew who went on those boats risking being held captive indefinitely. I'm afraid if world leaders can't influence Israel, a few people on a boat will mean nothing more than an inconvenience. More on that. Hi, Greg. I feel sorry for the people of Palestine, but honestly couldn't care. Okay. Politicians need to fix things in this country first before others. Budget on Tuesday just destroyed the Irish working class. fed up on all these social media outlets, Palestine on all radio channels. Palestine, honestly, go and jump with your Palestine from an extremely frustrated, overworked and stressed Donegal man. Another should have let Greta and a crew of jolly narcissists in about Hamas at the red carpet at the ready. They would have got some cracking pictures for instant face. Why is the West so interested in being seen to be right as opposed to actually doing right, chasing other terrorists? Israel is on the front line of our defence, please, listeners. So there's quite a bit of pro-Israel sentiment coming through on the texts. You said that we as a country can do something to help Gaza, like pass the Occupied Territories Bill, but I'd say most of the country would like to see the bill passed, but a tiny percentage of our population, i.e. political parties that are in power, are the ones making the decisions not to, not listening to the country as a whole, not very democratic, says that listener. 6 days a hostage for your guest. How's the 2 years been for the Israeli hostages? An absolute nightmare, and many of them are dead, and they should be released with immediate effect. What happened on October 7th, 2 years ago? 1,200 people wiped from the face of the earth in the most horrific, horrific manner, videoed, and Hamas then subsequently saying it was justified, they'd do it again, and then holding those people hostage for as long as they did and continue to do so until today. Absolutely horrendous. Not any way that you don't, that's not how you treat humans, but you know, you don't respond either necessarily by killing 70,000 men, women and children in response to that either. It's not proportionate, is it? Please ask the senator for his definition of genocide. Are war crimes and crimes against humanity, like abortions, considered as genocide? No, I think there's general criteria out there that describes what a genocide is. What happens to the boat and the food supplies, etc.? Where does it go after they're intercepted? I presume, listen, there's not much supplies on it anyway. I think the last flotilla, they said they would take the Israelis said they would take the, they would distribute what was on the boats. That was the last flotilla. I don't know if they made the same. If they made the same claims this time. Lots of you messaging in on President as well. By the way, a set of Toyota car keys were lost last Friday in the Ballybofey-Stranorlar Killigordon area. If you found them, obviously they're no use to you. The owner would like to get them back. It's not cheap replacing a key. So if you found a set of Toyota car keys over the weekend, get in touch with us because their owner really wants them back for obvious reasons. Greg, could you highlight the water is off in Fenaboy Gorta Hawk area? We don't know the reason or when it will be on. I'll check into that during the break. That's the second caller we've had. Please make sure you contact Irish Water as well, by the way, not just us. Just some info from Irish Water. Ishka Aaron, a couple of outages at the moment. Repairs to a burst water main may affect supply to Gorta Hawk and surrounding areas until 2:35 this afternoon, by the way, just in relation to some of those that were wondering what was going on. So Irish Water say it'll be back on at 2:35. And just in case you're in the Ranafast area, repairs to a burst water main, this is a separate information, repairs to a burst water main that may affect supply to Loch na Dúirn, Ranafastia and surrounding areas until 2 p.m. So both of those at West Donegal, both will be fixed sometime between 2 and 3, we're told. Now, the University Sailing Northern Championships 2025 is a big, major sailing event, and it's going to be held for the second year in Rathmullen this weekend. Rathmullen will welcome teams of university students on October 10th to the 12th for a weekend of collegiate racing? I don't know. No, I never went to college. I have no idea what you guys be at. Come here, lads. Dan Little, head umpire for the University Sailing Northern Championships, a senior sailing instructor. Good morning to you, Dan.
Hey, Greg. How are you doing?
Good to have you with us. And Ben Patterson, senior sailing instructor and main college liaison of the event, Technological University Dublin Sailing Club 2. Ben, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks.
Great to have you back up, Ben. What's the attraction with Rathmullen? Why does it lend itself well to this type of competition?
Yeah, well, great question, really, because this would be like my fourth year of the college sailing. And last year was our first year coming up to Rathmullen ever, I think. And generally, we are dying to come back. I can't wait for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Generally, I think it's the community spirit, the people of Rathmullen. The guys in the sailing club have been great. And having Dan, like an ex-TU Dublin sailor himself, but also a Rathmullen native, it's just, you know, you couldn't make it up. It's perfect. So, yeah, the community spirit really is what really brings us back.
Dan, the weather's going to be great. Depends what you want to do, right? The weather's going to be great, and it's pretty calm with the high pressure. Out on the water, is that a problem, or will there be plenty of wind to keep the boats at a good pace?
It's definitely looking like a light breeze, so it's definitely going to be a challenge to get all the racing in. But I guess that means as a spectator from the pier, you're going to hear everything on the water and you're going to see everything. It's going to be like, it's going to be a really nice spectacle down on the pier. So if anyone's knocking around, I'd strongly recommend.
Yeah. I presume it's a little bit like, you know, snooker, where you get some people are defensive and it's good to see a defensive battle. Some may for a more attacking, and you could say the same in boxing. I suppose the team still have to do as best they can with what wind is available to them. So Arguably it might be more technical when the winds are light.
Absolutely, and it's the same for everyone on the race course. So everyone is going to have light breeze. So there's no advantage or disadvantage to either team. But yeah, it definitely brings in, it's definitely more nerve-wracking racing in the light breeze because everything happens so slowly. And the communication amongst the team needs to be really good because you need to think 3, 4, 5 steps ahead, especially when the breeze is really light. So yeah, it's definitely going to be like super interesting.
Ben, describe the spectacle for us. You know, what? How big are these boats? What's the class of them? What's the design of them?
Yeah, so we sail Fireflies. So there's 3 fleets, and in each fleet there's 6 boats. And so it's 3 boats versus 3 boats in the team racing format. The boats are 2-person boats. So they have 2 sails, so a main sail and a jib, a smaller sail up front. And they're about maybe 4 meters, 5 meters, just under 5 meters in length. So they're not too big, but they're nice 2-people boats. And
that's what I was going to ask. So the crew's 2, yeah?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, very good. Visually, and as was pointed out, we'll have more time to see them, I suppose, if the winds are somewhat light. But visually, it's certainly well worth heading down to the pier and having a look.
Yeah, definitely. I think what's really, really nice about the team racing is the actual colours of the boats. So every fleet will be like either completely green, completely blue, and it just means the colours on the water are really nice. So you'll see the teams cruising around together in their sets of 3, especially when the sun is out. I mean, it's really, really nice to watch.
And staying with you, how many third levels are involved in this competition from around the country?
Yes, so there's 150 people coming up to Rathmullen in October, which is great for the local community. Obviously, you have the Beachcomber and the White Hart, which will be over the moon in October to get 150 people in the door. And then also just all the Airbnbs in the area and all the accommodation. It's not exactly peak tourism time in the middle of the summer. So for the local community, it's just a great boost in October.
And I think, Ben, it's probably for some, obviously, an eye-opener that, you know, that there's this sort of high level of competition so broadly participated in amongst our colleges and universities.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it's, you know, the university sailing is massive. We only do 4 events per year. So in terms of the team racing, so to have it in Rathmullen, one of those events is massive. And as well for like Rathmullen, the younger sailors and instructors in the club, they all get involved, which is great. They come out on the rescue boats or the ribs with the umpires. They help with the launching, recovery of the boats. And I believe Rathmullen even had 2 teams at the Elmo Cup, which is a team racing event in Dunleary this year, which is great, you know, to have 2 teams from Rathmullen. So,
And I think just to give context on the level, like Ireland this year in 2025, we came 3rd in the team racing world, which is a Baltimore team. And I guess this college scene is an incubator for those teams to allow them to practice, sail with different people. So as far as Ireland on a world level, we're really, really good at the team racing. And that's all down to the grassroots and the college level and the Elmos, as Ben said earlier, with the younger Rathmullen teams.
Yeah,
so Ireland really does have a really good pedigree when it comes to team racing.
Well, with the level of this participation too, the future is bright. You need a conveyor belt of talent coming through, and this is the, I suppose, the division below to march on to. Dan, do you have to set up buoys, boys, whatever you want to call them out? Like, is it that? Is it point to point? Is it a navigation or navigating around buoys, or what's the story?
Yeah, so with the team racing, it's quite interesting. The race only lasts about 6 to 8 minutes, so it's a really, really quick race.
My God, you love the pub, don't you? I wouldn't know. I understand why you talk about the pub. You wouldn't be down your first pint in 6 to 8 minutes.
But basically, the plan is that you race everyone. So you'll do about 12 to 14 races over the whole weekend. So you get to race every other college. But as far as the course is concerned, it's quite a technical course. It's called a digital N. So you actually have 4 marks and then also the finish line. Mm. So,
and is that set up regardless of the wind direction? Do you want people, tacking or what? Is it? Do you set that course up dependent on prevailing winds, or do you set the course out and everyone has to deal with whatever way the wind blows? Yeah.
That's a really good question.
So generally ask good questions.
Yeah. But the course actually changes depending on the wind. So for the first leg, you always want it to be perfectly in line with the wind direction, and that's what the race committee have to do. So all the volunteers in Rathmullen, they'll constantly be moving the course around to make sure that the course is set perfectly with the wind.
So you're heading into the wind up the end.
Exactly. So okay. for the first leg, you go straight in, and then it's called a reach. So you sail perpendicular to the wind across, and then you'll sail with the wind on your back. You'll go downwind, and then you'll reach across with the wind perpendicular again, and then you sail into the wind for the last leg.
Brilliant. So it makes it exciting then, because you're going to have teams that perhaps have got certain elements of that down to a T, depending on how they have to set the sail and all that kind of stuff. So it's presumably, and then it's a blast to the finish line then.
Absolutely. And right. Similar to, I guess, GAA or football, you'll have set pieces for every leg that you're on. So you'll have communicated with your team. You'll have a call for what you're going to do on each leg, depending on the positions of the boats. And because the course is because there's so many legs, the start and finish line aren't that far away from each other. So it means that the whole course can stay quite close to the pier. Mm. In other sailing races, the first leg could be a nautical mile.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, it's only, 60, 70 meters. So it means that the racing stays really, really close. And that's what makes it such a good visual sport as well for spectators watching.
Ben, is there any bumping and what? I was going to say bumping and grinding. Any bumping or whatever? Because obviously you've got big enough vessels and a tight enough course, and everyone wants to get that that line on the turn and what have you.
Yeah, no, definitely. We try not to damage and bump into boats, but unfortunately it does happen because it's heavily rule based as well. So obviously there's elements of strategy and getting around the marks quick and fast, but obviously use a lot of rules and sailing to, overcome the other boats. And sometimes in the heat of the moment, some people don't like to follow the rules. And there can definitely be a few bumps and scratches. But looking at the weather this weekend, I'm hoping there won't be any of that.
Yeah, we'll see. But as I say, every cloud has a silver lining. It makes it even more exciting as a visual event and something different to do at the weekend in out in relatively nice weather if you've got a good jacket on you. Brilliant stuff, Ben. Great to have you back. And I'm sure you'll have a fantastic weekend. Is it Ben or Dan can tell me when things kick off? What's the when does racing begin and conclude each day?
So I would say a safe bet for the start is coming down anywhere between 11 and 4 o'clock. Like that's like your good window. Cause obviously there's a bit of setup to be done in the morning, getting the boats ready. So anytime between 11 and 4, and obviously Rathmullen, the pier in Rathmullen is the third deepest pier in Europe. So that means that the pier, if you're walking out on the end of the pier, the boats will be in really close to it. So again, as a spectator, it's really nice and super unique. To have like a pier that comes out so deep into the channel, which allows it to be great for spectators.
Exactly, and that's why it's back, isn't it? Because it ticks a lot of the right boxes. All right, Dan. Listen, thanks for joining us, have a great weekend. It sounds like it's gonna be fun on and off the water. All right, look after yourself, Dan.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
See you soon, Dan Little. There, Ben. Enjoy your weekend. When are you traveling up?
Yeah, we're traveling up tomorrow, Friday. So early morning start, and try to get out to Rathmullen before the sun sets. But yeah,
well, safe, evening safe time. Journey and have a brilliant weekend. And I hope there's a good crew turnout to watch on. Look after yourself. Yeah, all right, bye bye. That's Ben Patterson, senior sailing instructor and main college liaison of the event. And you heard there too from Dan, who's a Donegal man and head umpire for the University Sailing Northern Championships 2025. So that's in Rathmullen, runs on from 10th till the 12th, which I never understand what that means. I should have asked. So tomorrow's the 10th, so it's not the 10th. It's Saturday and Sunday, isn't it? Anyway, listen, I'll double check that for you. I'll actually definitely double check that for you just in case you're turning up at the pier and all you see is a punt and a lobster pot. Okay, welcome back to the programme. I'm joined in studio by Helen Nolan, CEO of Spreeaga Sport. Good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Yeah, I'm great, Greg. Thanks very much for having me in today.
It's great to have you in, and it's great to have you in the context of Spreeaga Sport being recognised on the national stage with a shortlisting in three categories of the Charity Excellence Awards 2025. So often Spreeaga Sport is mentioned in the context of different things, you know. Can you give us a run through of Spreeaga Sport as the organisation and some of the work that it does?
Yeah, no bother. So we're celebrating 15 years this year, Greg. Started back in 2010, looking for a permanent home for the Cairn Donagh Parent and Toddler Group, and we set up in SuperValue. And today, I suppose we believe in the same way as we believed 15 years ago that everybody deserves the same opportunity, regardless where they live, what their ability is, or what their social circumstances. So we've created a really community-led sort of ecosystem where we combine school-age childcare with parent and toddler groups, support for families, wellbeing, along with digital technology, our circular economy, and inclusion plays a massive role with us as well. So we try to support, you know, children and young people that have a disability to attend all of our classes and workshops, and we provide a special needs assistant or a support worker so that they can do that. Then last December, we bought the Cairn Donagh Nursery and Garden Centre, so we've added that to our suite of offerings. We have two fabulous shops on Bridge Street, Sheery Clothing and Sheery Home, which sell lots of lovely pre-loved clothes and gifts. And then last year as well, we set up Workability, and that's a programme that will support young people with a disability into employment. So we have a lovely training centre just out the Mobile Road in Cairn Donagh, and that's doing really great work as well.
Yeah, I mean, it really is inclusion in the true sense of the word and everything that means, isn't it?
It is. No, absolutely. So we have a parent and toddler group, and that's specifically for parents that have children with additional needs. They meet every Tuesday afternoon, and they find that a great support, because all the peer-to-peer kind of support as well is really good, Greg, when you know that there's other families, you know, that are in the same situation as yourself. And then every Saturday and then every day during the school holidays, we provide lots of clubs for children with additional needs to attend. And it's really great.
The one thing I've noticed too, you just never stand still.
No,
you never rest
don't.
On the laurels and say, right, well, that's that done. Yeah. You always seem to be looking to see where you can go next.
Absolutely. We always are, because I mean, I feel that's really important. You have to be innovative and you have to be changing all the time, you know, because we want, you know, Cairn Donagh and Inishowen to be a really, really great place to live. And that's, you know, what we're trying to do with all kind of the work that we're doing. So, you know, a lot of it now is about, I suppose, like rural regeneration and seeing what else can we bring to our town. You know, I think we've regenerated 11 buildings in Cairn Donagh so far, and we now own two, the Cairn Donagh Garden Centre and our co-working hub in Millbrae. And, you know, it's just really great for our children and young people, because, you know, we have a fantastic, you know, digital creative lab now, and we actually got a van earlier this year, so we'll be bringing all that digital outreach, not just to schools now across the peninsula, but we're actually in Letterkenny and in Killigordon as well. So I think it's really important that, you know, our young people in Donegal and in Cairn Donagh especially, because that's where we are, can see that, you know, there's really great jobs and you can actually live and, you know, at home. Mm-hmm. I suppose when I headed away over 30 years ago, I thought I'd never get an opportunity to come back to Cairn Donagh, but I did. And now, Greg, people, you know, were surprised when I tell them, but we provide employment for 90 people.
It's remarkable. So what is Spriga Sport then? Is it a charity? Is it an organisation?
Yeah. So
it's, I mean, obviously both of those are not mutually exclusive, but you know.
No, it's a registered charity and it has been since pretty much the beginning.
Yeah.
And I suppose now we would consider ourselves as well, you know, to be a social enterprise. So all the money that we generate is all reinvested.
And you talked of shops and that, and I presume that adds part of the generation, but be able to invest into buildings and vans and services.
Yeah.
How is that achieved? And you know what? I suppose the how yous do that is also part of the recognition you get on a national stage. Yeah, right? That's why I want to dig into that a little bit. So, because you know, it would require great financial planning and control and use of resources and stuff. So, can you give us an insight into that?
Absolutely. Well, Greg, it probably helps that in a previous life I was an accountant.
Does help.
Yes. Yeah. So that has been that has been really helpful, to be fair. So listen, we're just really good at writing grant applications, and you know, our governance is top class.
But the way yous operate and where we're located, it gives lots of different options for applying for grants in loads of different headings, doesn't it, really, too, as well?
Absolutely.
But you have to obviously identify that and make the successful applications.
Exactly. Yeah. No, absolutely. And look, we're 15 years on, you know, in existence as well. So, we did an awful lot of hard work from the very beginning. And I suppose, Greg, really over the last couple of years, we're really reaping that reward now, because we've built up that support and we've built up that trust with all, you know, the big funders, you know, like Pubble and the Ireland Funds, Community Foundation of Ireland, Irish Youth Foundation, you know, and Rethink Ireland. So they invest heavily across, you know, charities and social enterprises across the country. And we have now really obviously established a really great relationship with all those funders, because they know we can, when we say we're going to deliver a project,
we deliver
it. But not only that, and I suppose what we've been really good at is we're then able to, you know, continue that project on into the future, you know, because sometimes with a lot of funding, once a project is finished, or once the funding is finished, that's the end of the project.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've ran lots of pilots and then we've been able then to, you know, to find money from elsewhere.
Because you've proved the success and the impact they have.
Absolutely, yeah.
Are you particularly good at, as an organisation, interacting with other organisations, if you know what I mean? Because I imagine you would have to be, because, you know, you work with people with various needs or wants or what have you. So, you know, you have to be able to network very well, maybe with other groups that represent those people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I wonder, are you particularly good in Spriga Sport in relation to that, to bringing things together, if that, you know?
Yeah, no, we are very good at bringing things together. So we'd absolutely link in with other organisations in any show, and we'd have a great peer network, you know, where we would link with organisations across the country that's in, you know, in the social enterprise space. And then we would work really well with, you know, the other stakeholders, like, you know, the HSE or public health nurses, you know, our local GPs, all of that. So yeah, we've been doing that, I suppose, since the very beginning.
And I think really what I was trying to say, sometimes people doing amazing work, they can be sort of crossovers, if you know what I mean, but it seems Spree has a really good way of not doing that, do you know what I mean, to enhancing what's needed or providing what's needed, rather than being sort of duplicity or what have you.
Yeah, we try not to do that, Greg, to be honest with you, because everybody has, you know, their own role to play. So we would most definitely, and anything that we do, try to make sure that what we're doing is not the same as what somebody else is currently doing.
And the national recognition, and we're going to talk about how people can support your nomination and hopefully bring the gold home, so to speak. And this is as part of the National Lottery Gold Causes. It's the recognition gets these conversations going as well. It also, you know, gets it onto a national stage. Maybe there is this is a model that's not employed in many, many places that possibly could.
Absolutely.
No, there's a lot of positive comes from this type of national recognition, I think.
Oh, absolutely, Greg. And even getting an opportunity to talk to you about it in Highland today is just fantastic. So yeah, listen, the national recognition is fantastic, you know, and a lot of these organisations like Subpubble and Rethink Ireland recognise that our model, you know, should and could be in towns and villages across the country. So that kind of is what they're working with us now over the next 2 years is to try and do. Now, myself or my team, we're not going to go and set spree up in another, you know,
no,
town
of course
or village.
Not. Yeah.
But we'd be hoping that other people...
If you see it, you can be it sort
exactly.
of a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to create sort of playbooks and toolkits. So because nobody's going to want to do everything that we're doing. But certainly, you know, community centres the length and breadth of this country could say, take maybe our inclusion model and, you know, try and include that then within their own offering, or maybe how we run our pre-love shop. Do you know that what we've done to, I suppose, to bring lots more people into that space, you know, where they're considering buying, you know, pre-loved as opposed to new all the time. So, yeah, that's the plan. And absolutely, these awards are incredible for doing that because they do give us that, you know, even, you know, last week we were at the Charities Excellence Awards and we won Finance Team of the Year. Now, if you saw the list of all the charities that
that you're in the mix with,
you know, we're small, a small local organisation, and ourselves and Leave No Trace were probably the only two local charities that won. You know, all the others were all, you know, national charities. So that was a really special feeling.
Fantastic.
I have to say, it was great.
And you know, I mean, so much credit has to go to you and the rest of the team, right?
Absolutely.
But also, the level of community engagement as well. And I think a big proportion of thanks to us to go to the fact that, you know, people see the services, engage with them, open to the whole process. And you know what I mean? And that comes from the trust that you've built up with them. Don't get me wrong, but it's a little bit like radio. Okay, we need listeners to survive and hopefully their listeners need us. And it's a bit like Spirit Sport
absolutely.
And the service users and stuff.
Absolutely, Greg. We need, you know, our community, we need our families, we need all our children to be able to come in and to, you know, avail of the services so we can keep the employment going, keep the funding coming into the peninsula. And like that, we need our customers coming into the garden centre and our shops too. We have phenomenal community support and always have. It's been incredible. You know, often our staff will hear, oh, look at, you know, I don't know what I would do without you. You know, you've changed my life. All those kind of comments, and it has been really great. And listen, we have a whole cohort of volunteers as well. You know, our board give up their time voluntary every month to you know, provide the governance for the whole organisation. And then we have a group of fantastic volunteers in our shops as well.
So what categories are you shortlisted in?
So last week we were shortlisted in Charity of the Year, the People's Choice Award, and the Finance Team of the Year, and we took home the Finance Team of the Year.
These awards have already happened.
So the charities one have, but next week.
Next week
we are up for.
So just go through what you won last year, because it's very important.
Well, this year has been a greater year for awards. Earlier this year in February, we won Best Business Supporting the Community at the Local Authority Management Awards. So that was a national award, and that was absolutely fantastic. And then we won Community Centre of the Year with the Highland Radio Awards in the spring, and we were absolutely delighted with that. And last week then we were Finance Team of the Year, so that was a great bulla bus for our finance team and for the whole team in Spree. And next week now on Wednesday we're up for Social Enterprise of the Year. And then next Saturday night, then we are up for in the National Lottery Good Causes Awards. We're a finalist in the health and wellbeing category. So we've won the county award numerous times. We've never made it to the final before.
Wow,
so
exciting.
Yeah, so it's
is
so
there
exciting.
Any way we can try and skew this in your favour, or is it a judging panel?
Maybe somebody listening knows.
Well, it'll be on merit, but I'm just wondering, can we vote or whatever? But listen, it's fantastic, and you know, it's. We can't say it's who needs awards, but you know what? It is. It's lovely to get the recognition. And if it's not for you, it's for the rest of the team, or it's for your family, or it's for, you know what I mean? It is really nice because you're punching way above your weight.
Yeah.
And that's been recognised nationally. And I think that's what's lovely.
Absolutely. And it really builds your profile, Greg. And, you know, it does help. I mean, it's fantastic for the team because they're the ones delivering.
Helps funding
the
applications as well.
It really does help funding applications. Just back to, you know, the conversation around
that's
the funding.
That's what it's all about.
It does, because, you know, even with Finance Team of the Year, any funder now looking at our application and see that we've won that national award, you know, that speaks volumes in terms of governance and what we're able to manage.
And talking about the continuance of things and not standing still in terms of services,
Absolutely.
in terms of keeping your eye on the books. You can't stand still in that regard either. You have to stay on top of it.
So
it's
just,
which makes it even more special what you're doing.
Yeah.
Helen, unless there's anything you want to add, we wish you all the best. Congratulations with everything that's happened so far. And we wish you all the best with what's coming up, because it's a, you know, I know it's Spearga's sport, I know it's in a show, but it's old county as well too. They'd be very proud of you.
Absolutely. No, it is. It's great. And thank you, you know, to Highland as well for all the support that you give us. And look at you know, for anybody that wants to find out more, we actually have we have quite a few jobs that are coming up now over the next couple of months. Yes, really great ones. At the minute, we're looking for a digital media trainer to support Anya in the digital lab. It's a really great opportunity for somebody that's, you know, starting out in a digital career. We're also looking for a customer experience lead, somebody to come down to manage our office, be that link with all our families and our parents. Both those jobs are closing next week, so if anybody is interested. And then we'll be looking then for a digital content creator and a family support worker over the next couple of weeks.
And how many staff did you say you support currently?
So 90.
90. That's astonishing, isn't it? I mean, in and of itself, that's astonishing.
It is. It's brilliant. A lot of, you know, casual and part-time.
Yeah, but still, a lot of young kids.
What it's great, Greg, for is we give a lot of school children their first job.
And what an amazing thing having your CV.
Absolutely. And it's so hard sometimes at the minute to get that, you know, to get that wee job. So, yeah, like over the summer, probably, you know, maybe 20, 25 young people that are supporting at all the camps, you know, with our children with a disability and our shops and all the different places. So it is. It's
lovely.
It's,
you do
it's
amazing
a great
stuff.
Employer.
Well done on an amazing year and hopefully more gold
next week.
Next week, yeah, indeed. But do you know I'm not just saying this, it's true. There are many, 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 many organisations across this country. To receive shortlists, to be shortlisted, is actually a remarkable achievement. But, you know, if you're in it, you might as well go on and blum and win the thing. All right, Helen, safe journey back up the road.
Thank you so much.
That's Helen Nolan, CEO of Spearga Sport, back after the break. If every community, says a listener, had a Helen Nolan, Ireland would be a better place. Brilliant work she does. That comes in from Terence. Yes, very impressive lady. Greg, could you highlight the Waters Off in Fannaboy Gortalk? I did do that and mentioned it. They hope to have it back on, I think, about 2:30. The usual rules apply, though. It could be a bit murky until it runs clear. Morning, Greg. Shame on Paul Canning expressing confidence in Micheál Martin. We're left with two candidates running for the president because of his bad leadership. But Councillor Canning reflected on where he's brought the party to, the biggest party in the country. We didn't get the same level of confidence expressed in Micheál Martin from a deputy, a backbencher in Pat the Cope Gallagher. He wouldn't say the words as much, but invited you, the listener, to draw your own conclusions from his comments. Why Fianna Fáil didn't put Pat forward, I'll never understand. Micheál Martin and Jack Chambers look like two clowns. Both should be gone. If this happened in the workplace, both would be sacked. Pat the Cope has his photo on the voting card with Jim Gavin. Why didn't he speak up earlier? I didn't see that, to be honest with you. I don't know what the ins and outs of it is. What has Minister Charlie McConnell to say about backing Jim Gavin? Another huge mistake by him. Well, if you could ask him, he won't speak to me still. If you could ask him, let me know. Another good morning on the Jim Gavin situation. What happens if Jim Gavin gets elected? Well, if he gets elected, if he wins the presidency, it's up to him. I suppose he could say, well, the people have spoken, I'll stick at it. Or what's most likely is he steps down and then another election happens in 60 days or within 60 days. So those are the two options there, really. A caller says, I just witnessed an elderly man using crutches having to walk on the busy road outside Skullmorag on Small in Letterkenny because the footpaths were completely blocked with irresponsible parents dropping off kids outside the school gates. The Hugh Duffy car park is only metres away with plenty of spaces. The road was newly lined with yellow lines recently. Was this a waste of money? It's an accident waiting to happen. So, I mean, obviously, you know, we're all only there for 5 minutes, aren't we? But this person's witnessed an elderly man on crutches having to go out into the road because he says the footpath was blocked. My very point, Greg, another botched job. Any help to small, struggling businesses should have been targeted, but when it's not their own money, then why not give some to your wealthy friends? Okay, here's another thing, by the way. We took part in the Donegal Camino this year, and we're about to wrap up the fundraiser. So this is an annual walk which raises funds for Cancer Care West, and we all know the excellent work they do and the great services available in Letterkenny, right? So thanks to your generosity, we walked Aranmore Loop. It was beautiful. We've raised so far €5,786. Now, we're closing that shortly. We'd love to get it to six. I don't want to keep rattling the bucket. You were so generous because we only did it over the course of a couple of days, if the truth be told. But if you have anything left to give to Cancer Care West Letterkenny and could help us get to six, we'd really, really appreciate it. We'll close it this time tomorrow, but you can go on to the, I can't remember the URL and no one gave it to me. It's idonate.com/, I can't guess it because I could give you someone else's. But anyway, give us a call here at the radio station. We can help you over the telephone line. But search Greg Hughes and I Donate and it should pop up. The total's 5786 at the moment. If we could get it to six and hand that check over to Cancer Care West Letterkenny, I'd really appreciate it. If you've already donated or you don't have the resources, please don't worry. But it would be lovely if we could get it up till six. We'll share that. I'll share that almost immediately on my Facebook page. And as I say, you could also give us a ring here at the radio station over the next wee while and we could help. If you can help us get us to six. If you can't, I understand that's okay too. Re-confidence in Micheál Martin. I can't believe that Councillor Paul Canning says he's got full confidence in Micheál Martin. That's unbelievable, says a listener. In relation to TB, TB money not being well spent as they cull cattle with TB and cattle suspected of TB, and at the same time they protect badgers. And why? What benefit is it to the ecosystem and biodiversity? And the deer could also be spreading TB. It's like if you had a slow puncture on your car and go to the garage for air, unless you get the puncture fixed, the wheel will continue to go flat. Thank you. That's a metaphor I can understand. They must be the only hostages where the kidnappers demanded they leave. What a bunch of heroes. Well, they were in international waters, at least for a time, kidnapped. They were taken from their boat in international waters, over which Israel has no governance. So we can split hairs on that, but there you go. Caroline, if you could just let me know where John is. Is it here somewhere? Okay. Let me see. Ah, yes, indeed. John Bresson, he's out and about. He's across the northwest. John Bresson broadcasting live just after 12 from Foy's in Ballina Buffet from 12 to 2:30 p.m. They'll be filling us in on the popular toys this Christmas with Toys at Foy's. So we're going to be finding out what Santa's going to be shoving into his bag. And also maybe giving you ideas if you want to buy toys as well. Their interior design packages will also be mentioned, of course, and the Foy's Defective Block Scheme, and there'll be also three €50 vouchers to give away in store as well. So that's all coming up after the news at 12.